Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Smith rifles that one to Mims. And that's a foot race he's going to win. Touchdown, Baylor. Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards. Five straight games, Anthony, where he's got a touchdown catch of over 20.
That's deflected and picked up Mosley. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Fell into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder. 85 yards.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
He'll hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know and that's
the Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And we're going to recap the Jets' destruction at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers. Or, as Kevin Burkhart on Fox said, as the local feed on Fox was going from the Jets and the 49ers to the Falcons and the Cowboys, we're going to discuss the, quote, thrashing of the Jets at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers, 31-13, the final score. But it wasn't even that close in reality. With the great beat reporter from NorthJersey.com covering the Jets, Mr. Andy Vasquez. Andy, you were there. There were no fans. I feel like that was the best thing to happen to the Jets all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win-win. The Jets didn't have to get booed off the field in the first half, because that's probably what would have happened. And fans didn't have to pay any money to watch that, because it was not pretty. It was really, I don't know. It was tough to watch. I mean, was that even football at that point? I hate it when sports writers complain about watching, you know, something bad. Like, it's our job to watch, you know, and cover the team we cover. But that was hard to watch.
It got hard to watch right away, because on the first play from scrimmage, Raheem Mostert, who I said on this show and on several 49ers podcasts throughout the week, everybody needed to watch out for him because he had a 79-yard touchdown reception last week against Arizona where he looked like a blur. Guess what? Same thing happened today, except instead of 79 yards, it was an 80-yard touchdown run on a pitch. Right away, it was 7-0. The Jets never recovered. Going into this, there was no George Kittle, who is the best offensive weapon the San Francisco 49ers have. There was no Debo Samuel, who's arguably their best receiver. He's on injured reserve. There was no D Ford, who is one of their best edge rushers. There was no Richard Sherman, who was their best cornerback. And as the game unfolded, Nick Bosa, who's arguably their best player, went out early in the first quarter. Solomon Thomas, one of their better defensive linemen, a top five pick from a couple of years ago, he went out very quickly. Raheem Mostert, who we said had an 80-yard touchdown run, by the end of the half, he was gone. Jimmy Garoppolo, starting quarterback. By the end of the half, he was gone. And by the way, he was hobbling the entire game. So the 49ers weren't even at half strength. They were at like a quarter strength. And yet the Jets, and don't get me wrong, they had their own injuries, couldn't do anything against the San Francisco 49ers. It really makes you wonder how this would have gone if the 49ers had been even close to healthy.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to think about that. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it could have been, it could have been a lot worse last week in Buffalo. And yeah, if the 49ers were healthy, I mean, who knows what the score would have been. But it's just, I guess, watching the 49ers play today, it is possible for some teams to overcome injuries. The Jets don't seem to be one of those teams. And, I don't know where else to put the blame on that but the coaching staff. But, it's just not excusable to come out and look like that against a team that just has not only adversity coming into the game in the form of all the injuries and traveling across the country and then having a weird travel situation where they're going to go to West Virginia for the week after this before they play the Giants at MetLife again next week. There is every reason that the 49ers shouldn't have been ready to play or looked. They could have been feeling sorry for themselves, not just before the game, but during the game. And yet they come out and deliver, gut punch to the Jets on the first play of the game and basically never let up. And there was never really a point in this game, even more so than last week, where you saw a path to the Jets getting back into it. Even when they might have pulled within, two touchdowns in the second half, it just never felt realistic. So it's just bad. I mean, there's not a lot of positives you can take from something like this. It was just bad on every level. And they better turn it around quick. And it's not going to be easy because the Colts look pretty good against the Vikings today. So, they're going to get exposed again if they don't do something different in Indianapolis next week.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Andy, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, but first I want to start with the coaching and specifically Adam Gase, since you touched on this a little bit. I don't really understand what the game plan was supposed to be. Now, Breshad Perriman went out early in the game, but even when he was in the game plan seemed to be configured as if Luke Falk was a quarterback, and I just couldn't figure it out because I understand the dinking and dunking, and at first it was working, but he wasn't letting Sam Darnold actually do anything. Frank Gore, by the beginning of the second half, had 17 carries, and I'm trying to figure out what it is Adam Gase thought he was doing. I know that he has limitations on the offensive side of the ball, but at that rate, you're basically playing not to lose. And you know what they say about coaches that play not to lose? They're playing not to win. And that's exactly what he was doing. You have to at least try. And this felt like he was more or less hoping that his defense would keep him in the game and that his offense wouldn't ruin things for him. You can't coach that way in the NFL, especially when you're playing against a team that has all these injuries on defense that you could exploit.
Yeah, so, I mean, this wasn't – there were some egregious decisions, and this wasn't the worst one, but I think it kind of speaks to exactly what you're talking about. In the first quarter, I think it was their second drive, they're moving the ball well. They get down into – deep into San Francisco territory. I think – I can't remember what happened. There's probably a penalty. They get backed up. They've got third and 18. I think it was, like, from the 46. And, you know, that's – I'm sorry, from the 26 – That's well within Sam Pickens' field goal range. And instead of trying something to either get the first down or you know, maybe taking a shot at the end zone, they run it up the middle to basically center the ball for Pickens. And I just think that sent like a bad message to everyone, you know, that they were going to be conservative. They weren't going to trust their offense, that the Gase wasn't going to trust his offense to, you know, take risks and make the plays. And, you know, if that's how he feels about Sam Darnold at this point in his career, that's not only an indictment on Sam Darnold, but it's an indictment on him because he's the coach who was supposed to bring Sam Darnold along and make him the kind of player who can take advantage of situations like this against a team that wasn't anywhere near 100%. So, I mean, I think that play is going to be overlooked, but it was something that stuck out to me and early in the game, and I don't think – you know, the Jets got that field goal there. And I don't, you know, they never really got anything going offensively. I mean, obviously the sequence that jumps out is in the second quarter. They drive down the field again. They have first and 10, I think from the 29. And then they run the ball four times in a row. The first two were Frank Gore, and they've got third and one on the 20. And then it's like, it's clearly four down territory. I think they were down 14-3, and it's clearly four down territory. And if you're going to go for it on fourth, why are you, you know, running the ball on third? But that's what they did. They handed it off to Gore a third time. He got stuffed. And then on fourth down, they went with Josh Adams, the backup running back, and tried to run him up the middle and got stuffed again. And that's, you know, that was probably their best chance to get back in the game. And that's not like, you got to do better than that there. There's got to be something you can come up with that is better than running the ball four times in a row and handing the ball to your backup running back on fourth and one, you know, and scored in the red zone. So yeah, it was, there's a lot of stuff that it just didn't make sense. And I agree. You know, it seems like there's a governor on Sam Darnold, and he doesn't look anything like the quarterback he did in his rookie year when he was kind of freewheeling and he made mistakes, but it's like he still makes those mistakes, but now none of the positive plays that comes with it like happen because he's kind of held back by whatever this offense is trying to do. So it's concerning. It's not fun to watch, and it's obviously not working. So there's a lot of problems, and the Jets, you know, have to figure it out, and you know, fast, or like Jordan Jenkins was saying after the game, they're going to keep getting embarrassed.
Andy, with Darnold, the frustrating thing is at the very end of the game. Now, granted, it was in mop-up duty, but at the end, Darnold was able to escape a blitz and almost got taken down by two guys, found his way out of it, and fired across his body on the run downfield for a touchdown to Braxton Berrios. Fantastic play. The problem is that was really the only wow play that we saw from him the entire game. The rest of it, as we said, was so conservative and so buttoned down that you don't really know what to make of it. You can't really put anything on Darnold here the way that we did last week, because last week he legitimately played poorly. This week he was fine within what he was asked to do, but he wasn't asked to do anything. So what actual conclusion could you really draw about Darnold after this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even write very much about him because it was just like that stuff in mop-up time is meaningless. I mean, it really is. It makes everything look a little less worse than it was, but it was bad. I mean, it wasn't a close game. It wasn't competitive. It wasn't competitive basically after the Niners, you know, marched down the field late in the second quarter and got that touchdown to make it 21-3. So that's irrelevant. And look, I thought he made a couple of nice throws. It's hard for me to remember exactly early until I go back over the film, but early in the game, I thought, you know, he wasn't asked to throw the ball long, but he was making the right decisions. He was making some good throws. Obviously the 49ers defense adjusted and took away what the Jets were doing in the run game. And then, those opportunities really weren't there anymore. But if you're going to take like a positive, like this is a very small positive, like he didn't look like trash like he did last week. So congratulations. I'm sure Jets fans feel great about that. But I don't know how to evaluate what I saw from Darnold, because it just, like you said, he didn't get to do much, and they didn't put the ball in his hands in the key situations in the game. And that's, I will say this, like a good quarterback needs to make a play that gets his team like into a game when they need it. He needs to be able to provide a spark, and there are probably some chances for him to do that today, but it just never happened. And it's probably nitpicking, but because of the way the game plan was set up, like I would like to see that from Darnold, but I think it's partially on Gase too for not having, you know, a game plan that put his quarterback, who is talented enough to do that, because we've seen it before, in a position to do that.
Andy, let's talk about something positive, because there's not a lot positive to say about this game, but George Fant, who I never wanted the Jets to sign, who's playing right tackle, played pretty well again today. He played well last week, so he's proving me wrong and many others one game at a time. It's only been two games, but I like what I've seen. And Mekhi Becton, listen, he did really well against Nick Bosa early on before Bosa came out. Held up very well the entire game. He's somebody that we expected to struggle in pass protection early in the season, at least, because he didn't run a lot of true pass protection sets at Louisville, but he has exceeded all expectations early. Now, it's a very young part of the season here. We've got 14 games left to go, but still, seeing him play this well this early is a very positive sign, and if we're looking for silver linings, that's right at the top of the list.
Yeah, I think that should be exciting for Jets fans. And I think, you know, you can feel kind of good going into a stretch of the schedule where the defense is, I mean, I know San Francisco wasn't its usual today, but it is telling that he was able to handle Bosa when he had the chance, even though those chances were very limited. And for the most part, he held his own last week and played really well too. And you have to think it's going to be easier for him going forward now. And he should have some confidence in the way he's played. So yeah, that's exciting for the Jets for sure. That is a good thing. And you know, I think, you know, it kind of, you know, makes sense that the pick that Joe Douglas made there, like it was the right pick. If there was any doubt about that, if you thought they should have maybe gone and gotten a wide receiver or something, this guy is showing the potential to be, you know, a big time established guy in the offensive line for the next decade plus. I mean, it's two games, so let's not get carried away, but it's a very good start, and there's reason to believe he'll keep it up. So yeah, that is something, one of the few things that Jets fans should be excited about. And overall, the offensive line has been better. I mean, again, not a high bar, but if, you know, the offense was opened up a little bit more, I think you'd see Darnold look more like he did at the end of his rookie year, where he was kind of freewheeling and making plays happen. That we haven't seen that yet, but I think that's more about the playbook than it is about the offensive line right now.
While we're on the subject of positive things, let's talk about Quinnen Williams, his breakout game to date, his best game as a pro, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, a forced fumble, 10 tackles overall. He was dominant today against a very strong 49ers offensive line. We've been waiting to see a game like this from him. We finally got it, and against a good team. And it wasn't against a banged-up version of this line either. This was the intact San Francisco 49ers offensive line. So very good job here by Quinnen Williams. We have to keep our fingers crossed and hope that he keeps this up. But on the defensive side of the ball, he was clearly the shining star today.
Yeah, last week it was Marcus May, not so much this week. But Quinnen did a nice job. He had one penalty, which definitely, you know, wasn't great. He seems to, you know, have one of those penalties every game now, or he has the first 2 games of the season. But I'm nitpicking. He was the kind of player that they thought they were getting when they drafted him number 3 overall last year. Like, I still think, you know, overall the Jets pass rush has been disappointing, and it was especially in the first half when, you know, Garoppolo was clearly, as you said earlier, hobbled, and they couldn't put any pressure on him. And he just picked apart the Jets defense when they weren't getting, you know, picked apart by the running game. So that was overall, the pass rush has got to be better than what it was today. But Quinnen looked good. And what I think is most important is that he builds on it next week, because like you said, this was the best performance of his career. But before we can buy in, I think we need to see more of it.
One thing we don't need to see more of, Andy, is what the rest of this defense did today. Henry Anderson, a 15-yard roughing the passer penalty, absolutely inexcusable. He did this last year with Josh Allen, although that one was way worse. And that penalty probably cost them the game last year in week number 1. This one certainly did not cost them the game, but there is no reason to be hitting a quarterback that late the way that he did. He unfortunately continues to make boneheaded decisions like that. And then you look at the rest of the defense. Bless Austin and Marcus May, who were both really good last week. May was missing tackles today. Bless Austin was missing tackles and was a mess in coverage. Kendrick Bourne was beating him up all day. You take a look at the other side. Quincy Wilson was okay. Then he ends up getting hurt and he's out of the game. The linebackers couldn't do anything. Alec Ogletree, who they started in this game over Avery Williamson. I don't know what shape Avery Williamson's knee is in, but it has got to be in dire straits if Alec Ogletree is starting over him, because Alec Ogletree is beyond slow for an NFL player. There's no other way to say it. A complete mess all the way around, plus penalties. They had so many penalties that were just killing them. Every time it looked like they might be able to get off the field, something would happen, including the Henry Anderson penalty. So Greg Williams, second week in a row, his defense looks very sloppy and undisciplined. I know we all loved him last year, but he's not off to a great start this year, and neither is his unit.
No, it's bad. I mean, I guess what I'll say is you look back at the beginning of last year and after week 2, I think they played the Browns week 2, and that was the Odell Who game where they had their little spat in the media before the game. And then, you know, Greg Williams said, you know, Odell who are we talking about? And then he torched them for, you know, a bunch of yards and touch. I can't remember if that was Thursday night or Monday night. It might've been Monday night, but either way, it was, you know, the defense was a mess back then too. So maybe they'll get it together and surprise people the way they did last year. But I think part of it you're seeing is like, yeah, Jamal Adams was pretty good and maybe covered up a lot of these mistakes that, you know, we didn't see last year because he made a big play to stop it. And then, but yeah, the lack of discipline is just hard to excuse. I know that Anderson play didn't end up being the difference between winning and losing, but it did effectively end the game for the Jets. You know, if they had gotten that stop like they should have gotten, I mean, because that was so blatantly late and unnecessary and stupid. And it's even worse when he's like shrugging at the ref, like, what, who, me? Like, come on. Like, everybody saw what happened. It was just not a smart football play. But if the Jets get that stop there, I think there was still some time left on the clock. And they forced the Niners to kick a field goal, and then it's, you know, 17-3. maybe they can come down the field because, you know, Gase seems to open up the playbook a little bit more in the two-minute drill. Maybe they come down the field and get a touchdown, and it's a 17-10 game going into halftime, and we're looking at things a little differently. I still don't think they would have won the game, but, I mean, that's a huge play that changes everything and just reinforces the horrible play that they've had. That's you know, tough, and you'd like to see, like, I know he got pulled off the field right after it, but it's almost like, why is he even going back into the game after making a mistake like that? It's not like he's that valuable to the defense. It's not like he is, you know, consistently getting to the quarterback or doing anything that the Jets are paying him, you know, $10 million a year to do or somewhere in that neighborhood. So that's frustrating to watch. And then, yeah, just overall on defense, it was these mistakes that we didn't see last year. The over pursuit, the guys not staying in their gaps. I mean, that's what Jordan Jenkins said after the game, is he's almost pleading for his teammates to, like, just do your job and don't do more than it, because and this is what happens when teams play as poorly as they did last week. Like, guys start pressing and want to do too much because they want this to stop, and it has the opposite effect. Like, if you're not playing within the scheme, you're going to open things up for mistakes. And when you're playing with a guy like Ogletree, who was obviously slow, as we saw in the very first play of the game, I think he was in position, you know, to make that play and just got, you know, burned. So it's just a bad combination. And this defense that took so much pride in stopping the run last year just had no answer. I mean, that 80-yard run was bad, but then the worst run was on 3rd and 31. Seriously, 3rd and 31. McKinnon from his own 11-yard line takes it 55 yards on 3rd and 31. And now all of a sudden the Jets are in a situation – we're in a situation where they could flip the field and you know, maybe be in a good position for the offense, and now the Niners are in field goal range. And that's just – I mean, the 49ers were waving the white flag there. They're just like, we're going to punt. And then the Jets are like, no, you're not. You're going to be in field goal range. So it's just – it's just brutal stuff. I mean, I think they may have made more mistakes in this game than they made in the entire, like, final 10 games of last season in terms of giving up big plays. And you can't win like that. And you know, if they don't fix it, it's only going to get worse. And, you know, it's going to start to wear on guys, because nobody likes losing like this, and nobody likes being embarrassed like this. And, you know, they see this stuff and they know what other teams and people around the NFL think about them, and fans and people in the football world in general. It's not fun to be a punchline. But that's what the Jets have been through the first 2 weeks, and it somehow was worse against the 49ers than it was against the Bills.
Pierre Desir had an interception after he came in the game following the departure of Quincy Wilson, who had gotten hurt. And the interception reminded me a little bit of Tremaine Johnson's interception in the Seeing Ghost game last year against the Patriots, when Leonard Williams forced Tom Brady to throw the ball literally right into Tremaine Johnson's chest. This one was a tip pass that went right into Pierre Desir's chest. I feel like that's the only way he was going to make a positive play. I think the best way to sum this game up, Andy, is when you're looking at a day when Nick Mullins outplays Sam Darnold, and the defense's worst play of the game is not giving up an 80-yard touchdown run. That's when you know things have gone horribly, horribly wrong in every single way. But on the bright side, we should point out that Sam Ficken continues to have a perfect season. He is 100% both PATs and field goals so far this year.
Yeah, you can't blame Sam Ficken for this mess. Or Braden Mann, who's, mm-hmm. you know, obviously punting the ball well and holding the ball well. So I mean, I don't know, man. It's not good. It's not good. And there's a lot of reasons it's not good, and it's hard to remember them all, because there's so many things I feel like I'm missing, because when there's this much, you know, bad football, I mean, they came out and got outscored by a combined 42-6 in the first half of these games. I mean, that's, if you want to take one stat from all of this, that's it. That tells you everything you need to know about, you know, how prepared the Jets are to play, how the game plan is working. You know, in the first half, when when the coaches rely on their game plan the most before, this isn't even, we're not even talking about adjustments here. We're talking about what you're coming into the game with. That's what the Jets have come into the game with, 42-6. And that is, I don't know how to defend it. I don't even know how to start defending it. It's not good. It's not, I mean, you started with, the adjective that Burkhart used. I mean, there's so many adjectives that it's almost, hard to grasp which one to use. So it's a lot of tough choices for writers writing about these games and trying to figure out how best to describe it.
I hate to pour a little gasoline on the fire here, Andy, but there were more injuries today. Rashad Perriman re-aggravated an injury, and then Connor McGovern, the starting center, came out late in the game. Do we know anything about those injuries yet?
So I think Perriman's injury, it's hard with him to keep up because he's had a lot of them. I think if this was an ankle injury, I think this is new. So it probably isn't encouraging that, he came off the field and he seemed to be walking okay. They took him into the tent, but then he went from, questionable to return to out right after halftime. That's not encouraging. And then with McGovern, a hamstring injury. I don't know how an offensive lineman gets a hamstring injury, but this is what's happening to the Jets right now. So it happened. Adam Gase didn't give us any specifics. He said they'll be evaluated further and that he'd have some sort of update tomorrow. So that's what we've got with those injuries. And I think Arthur Mollett also left with a groin injury. And there was one more that I cannot remember, but it wasn't to a guy who is like a major contributor. Chris Hogan also hurt his ribs at some point. I think it was on one of the few times Darnold threw downfield, he found Hogan for a leaping grab early in that third quarter. I think he hurt his ribs there, but he came back into the game and finished out and looked okay doing it. So probably be sore tomorrow, but probably not a long-term concern.
Last order of business, Andy, let's talk about the post game when you got to talk to the coach and some of the players. Adam Gase once again made me roll my eyes a couple of times. Jordan Jenkins, as you said, had some fiery things to say. Quinnen Williams decided to do the Marshawn Lynch routine, which kind of surprised me. Take us through all of the post game shenanigans. I'm sure there were a lot of frustrated players today.
Yeah, we'll start with whatever that was Quinnen was doing. I don't understand what that was about, but obviously it was a frustrating day for the defense and, he played well. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't see the point of, he answered every question basically with, I have to check the film. So we're like, is it frustrating to give up an 80-yard touchdown run on the first play of the game? And he's like, I'm going to have to check the film to see how I feel about that. So I don't know what that means. Yeah, Jordan Jenkins was kind of showed Quinnen how you should handle these situations. He was asked a good pointed question about what Christopher Johnson said earlier in the week, which was that he wasn't going to judge the Jets on a playoff mandate, but he wanted to see progress and you know it when you see it. And then obviously, where's the progress was the question, and Jenkins was like, I'm going to be blunt. There isn't progress. And if we keep doing this, we're going to keep getting embarrassed. And that's, true and honest. And he knows that they have to be better. And I mean, I think anyone knows that, but, he seems to have a sense of urgency. A couple other interesting things. Sam Darnold was pretty tight-lipped about that 4th-and-1 play. He was asked about if he's, has the freedom to switch out on that play to a quarterback sneak if he wants to. And he basically said no and did not elaborate. I don't know on some of these plays. I think Sam is going to default take the blame even if it's not on him, no matter what. I mean, some of the bad the play calls early in the Buffalo game that looked like bad play calls upon further review were probably things that Darnold checked down to. Or change at the line of scrimmage. So, but I think he's going to take the blame in basically every situation, even if it wasn't his fault. So it's kind of hard to read too much into that. And then Adam Gase's explanation for why he did the unexplainable, which is kick a field goal down 24-3 late in the third quarter to make a three-possession game a three-possession game. He just said that there aren't a lot of good plays against that defense in that situation. He basically said they used up their play on third down, and it didn't work. And then, they decided to kick the field goal because they wanted to get some positive momentum, which obviously did not work. It did not change the fortunes for the offense. They did not come out and, drive down the field three times to make it a game in the fourth quarter. Instead, the offense finally got going in garbage time once the good 49er players that were remaining on defense were out of the game. So, again, I could live to be a couple thousand years old, and I don't think I'll understand why you would kick a field goal there, because it just doesn't help your team win. The only thing that it does is make it look a little less bad on the scoreboard. And if that's what you're playing for, then, what are we all doing? So it was a rough day, to say the least.
Andy, I do hope that you live to be a few thousand years old, because then you'll get to cover the Masters a few times at least. And maybe somebody will even let you wear their gold jacket, and it'll help make up for what happened today, that you had to sit through this horrendous football game. Andy Vasquez, covering the Jets for NorthJersey.com. Thanks for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. Everybody should go check out Andy's write-up here, because he did use Christopher Johnson's own words against him, and I'm going to let you talk about that, Andy. I thought your write-up was excellent. All your work is great. You can see it at NorthJersey.com. You can get a lot of it for free, but if you want unlimited access to everything over there, it's only 99 cents a month, which is nothing, and you get unlimited access not only to Andy's work, but all the great local journalism that's going on over at NorthJersey.com. So highly recommend that you check it out, and especially Andy's work, where you will find that summary that I was just talking about and a whole lot more. Right, Andy?
Yeah, Scott. And real quick, just before, I appreciate the plug, and I would encourage you to check out my work. Subscribe, please. It helps us out immensely and helps me out, look good with my bosses. And, we have a lot of other, nobody covers, if you live in Bergen County, nobody covers the area like we do. So would appreciate any listening you do. Real quick, Scott, am I being too negative? I may be a little influenced by the, it's not usually that you're the more positive guy than me in these things. So I may be influenced by a stat that I looked up the other day, I started covering the Jets in 2016. So this is my fifth season, and they have only been above 500 at kickoff in two games that I've covered. So maybe I'm just, beaten down by the losing, but was it as bad as what I thought today?
I think it was worse, actually.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't lost my perspective. But yeah, we got a ton of good work over at NorthJersey.com, and I'll be writing. I wrote about what Jordan Jenkins had to say in depth, and why the defense had some problems against the run game of San Francisco, aside from the obvious reasons. And a full recap of kind of why, as an owner, when you say things about, Adam Gase's brilliant offensive mind, and then he can't score a touchdown against a depleted defense, it's not great. So a lot of stuff there, and more coming tomorrow with a breakdown of kind of some of these key plays and what went wrong, and some of the good things that we saw too, and looking deeper into Mekhi Becton and Quinnen Williams and all that.
Before we wrap up, the Jets are 0-2, and so Jets fans are in the familiar position of looking towards the draft, which I really wish we didn't have to do this early in the season all the time, but unfortunately, it seems like that is the reality once again this year. So, went out and got one of the best out there to come on and tell us who helped and hurt themselves in college football this past weekend, Mr. Charlie Campbell of WalterFootball.com, and Charlie comes to us courtesy of our friends over at MyBookie. If you go over to MyBookie now and you use the promo code OVERTIME, you can get yourself up to $1,000 in free betting when you sign up, and you can double your first deposit. You can bet on pretty much anything, whether it's the games themselves. Futures, by the way, quick tip for you, do not bet on the Jets to win the Super Bowl, or props during the games. There's some really fun ones, over-unders. You can even bet on stuff like who's going to win the opening coin toss. It's all there for you at MyBookie. Just use the promo code OVERTIME. Get up to $1,000 in free play and you can double your first deposit. Once again, use the promo code OVERTIME over at MyBookie. All right, Charlie, the floor is yours. Welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks, Scott. So this week in college football, we had some interesting prospects help themselves and hurt themselves here in week three action. In terms of going up, you got to look at Paris Ford, the safety from Pittsburgh. He had his second interception of the season with a really good game against Syracuse. From the beginning of the game, Ford was active around the ball, making some punishing hits on receivers, helping out in the ground game, and then just making an excellent play, reading out a screen for his second interception of the season. Ford really has picked up where he left off last year, where he had about 100 tackles and made a lot of plays on the ball. He's dangerous in coverage in the middle of the field, as a solid run defender. And the only thing that really keeps him as being maybe a late one, second round pick, is he's not the biggest of safeties. He's not undersized. You'd like to see him be a little thicker for the NFL to tackle pro backs and receivers. So with that in mind, he could be a guy that could be in contention for one of the Jets picks late in the first round, the one from Seattle potentially, or early in the second round, give them a replacement for Jamal Adams and help them in coverage on tight ends, given what we saw Jordan Reed just do to them. So Ford's a prospect on the rise that I would give a stock up here in the early going of this college football season. Now, conversely, stock down from their opening game of the year would be Chuba Hubbard, the running back from Oklahoma State. He really looked terrible in pass protection against Tulsa, not even a tough opponent, but he had some pathetic blocking attempts, really just didn't look interested in blocking hard or engaging the defender, just doing the bare minimum. On top of that, he had a fumble on a handoff and just wasn't running hard or physical. He only averaged 3.4 yards a carry against Tulsa on 27 totes, finished with less than 100 yards. So that was a really underwhelming season opener for Hubbard, and the Jets could be in that running back market if Le'Veon Bell is ditched after this season. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. But looking for running back help on day two, Hubbard really gave himself a bad tape to start out this 2020 season. So we'll see if he can bounce back. But that was your WalterFootball.com NFL Draft Analysis.
Thanks, Charlie, and thank you for listening. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we would be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah,
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.